The Truth News Network. Mainstream news, for the most part, cannot be trusted. Want the truth?
And nothing but the truth?
It's here every day at the Truth News Network. Here with today's truths is Dan Newman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to part three, Roe v. Wade. Here today, maybe gone tomorrow. As promised, we begin today's chapter with a segment of Margaret Sanger's own writings about her opinions of birth control that include eugenics, abortion, and infanticide. Margaret Sanger, as you know, is a founder of Planned Parenthood. Her ideas were startling, dramatic, and openly unspeakable to many in her time. Her establishment of the original Planned Parenthood organization was her effort to bring her birth control and pre-birth termination philosophies into the mainstream in the United States. This did that, and so much more. So let's get right to it today. The question, birth control, is it really birth control or abortion? In her own words, Margaret Sanger, from December 3rd, 1918, she said this, "Family limitation will be practiced. No law has yet been framed that can prevent it. The church has been powerless, and the champions of worn-out moral creeds find themselves trying in vain to force all women to become mothers against their wills. Abundant evidence of the futility of seeking to impose involuntary motherhood upon women is found in the size of the families of the rich, of the well-to-do, and the wage workers of large earning capacity. The women of these classes long ago refused to be mere brood animals. Usually they prefer to be voluntary mothers, determining for themselves the number of children they shall have and when they shall have them. Family limitations for them is an accomplished fact." This is Margaret Sanger, and she's speaking in her own words. She continues, "It is also an accomplished fact with many of the wives of the less highly paid workers. But with the latter, as well as with some of their more fortunate sisters, family limitation takes a far more drastic and too often a terribly dangerous course. The awakened woman of today will not bear unwanted children. She will not bear more children than she can care for. And if she is denied the knowledge of the safe, harmless scientific methods of birth control, she limits her family by means of abortion. In the very nature of the case, it is impossible to get accurate figures upon the number of abortions performed annually in the United States." Now remember, this is Margaret Sanger speaking in 1918. "It is often said," she said, "however, that one in five pregnancies end in abortion. One estimate is that 150,000 occur in the United States each year, and that 25,000 women die of the effects of such operations in every 12 months. Dr. William J. Robinson asserts that there are 1 million abortions every year in this country and adds that the estimate is conservative. He quotes Justice John Proctor Clark as saying there are at least 100,000 in the same length of time in New York City alone. Dr. Max Hirsch, a famous authority, quotes an opinion that there are 2 million abortions in the United States every year. I believe, declares Dr. Hirsch, that I may say without exaggeration that absolutely spontaneous or unprovoked abortions are extremely rare, that a vast majority, I should estimate it at 80%, have a criminal origin. Our examinations have informed us that the largest number of abortions are performed on married women. This fact brings us to the conclusion that contraception measures among the upper classes and the practice of abortion among the lower class are the real means employed to regulate the number of offspring. The question, then, is not whether family limitation should be practiced. It is being practiced, she said. It has long been practiced, and it will always be practiced. The question now is whether it is to be attained by normal scientific birth control methods or by the abnormal, often dangerous, surgical operation. That is the question which the church, the state, the moralist, and most of all, the woman herself must face. The knowledge of birth control methods may for a time be denied to the woman of the working class, but those who are responsible for denying it to her, and she herself, should understand clearly the dangers to which she is exposed by the dark age laws which force her into the hands of the abortionist. To understand the more clearly what these dangers are, and to realize the more fully how much better it would be to avoid them, it is first necessary that women should know something of the processes of conception, the prevention of which frees them of all risk of having to resort to abortion. There is no doubt that women are apt to look upon abortion as of little consequence and to treat it accordingly. An abortion is an important matter as a confinement and requires as much attention as the birth of a child at its full term. The immediate dangers of abortion, says Dr. J. Clifton Edgar in his book, The Practice of Obstetrics, are hemorrhage, retention of an adherent placenta, sepsis, tetanus, perforation of the uterus. They also cause sterility, anemia, malignant diseases, displacements, neurosis, and endometriosis. In plain everyday language, folks, in an abortion there is always a very serious risk to the health and often to the life of the patient. It is only the women of wealth, she said, who can afford to give an abortion proper care and treatment both at the time of the operation and afterwards. These women often escape any serious consequences from its occurrence. The women whose incomes are limited and who must continue at work before they have recovered from the effects of an abortion are the great army of sufferers. It is among such that the deaths due to abortion usually ensue. It is these, too, who are most often forced to resort to such operations. What you just heard, in total, were the words of the Planned Parenthood founder, Margaret Sanger. Sanger couched her teachings in the thoughts regarding birth control primarily. As you read in chapters 1 and 2 that were published the last 2 days, birth control itself and even public discussions of birth control were actually illegal in the U.S. in the early 1900s. Then doctors were allowed to discuss birth control privately with their patients. Abortions were rampant. You can see the numbers listed that we'll talk about in just a few minutes in Sanger's own writings, but their numbers were kept hidden and were just projections rather than actual. But it is fair to say there were millions of abortions before Roe v. Wade made abortions legal throughout the U.S. and determined that states could no longer block them. When we come back, we're going to talk about proof or conjecture. And included in it, folks, we have some amazing numbers and statistics. They're going to shock you, but it's information that every American needs to know. That's all just ahead. Sit tight. At TNN, the Truth News Network.
How can we say when you book direct at choicehotels.com, you always get the lowest price in our rooms, guaranteed?
Let's get someone to say it with a really low voice. Carl?
Lowest price guaranteed.
What about the world's lowest limbo stick?
How low can you go?
Nice one, Carl.
Hey, I've got an idea. Just say, bada book, bada boom.
Bada book, bada boom.
Nice.
Always the lowest price guaranteed. Book now at choicehotels.com.
As a retired teacher, I look for ways to save money for the things I love, like traveling the world. Medicare plans change each year. Fortunately, my HealthMart pharmacist helped me understand my insurance, saving me money on prescriptions. And they can help you too. My pharmacist cares about my health and the things I love, whatever that might be.
HealthMart, caring for you and about you. Visit healthmart.com for the locally owned pharmacy near you.
In a world of change,
one thing remains constant:
the bedrock of truth. Welcome to the Truth News Network.
TruthNewsNet.org.
And today we're wrapping up our story about Roe v. Wade. Here today, maybe gone tomorrow. Today's chapter is the third in a series of three. Moving ahead, the stories surrounding Planned Parenthood and its work today are many and varied. Just as is the case of the history of Margaret Sanger and her work, these Planned Parenthood stories contain claims and acknowledgement of abortions performed and other services that range from one spectrum to the other. Getting factual verification of Planned Parenthood's real intentions is extremely difficult. Facts, and the word facts is put in quotation marks, are everywhere and are all over the place. But the determination of its primary purpose for existence is fairly easy to do. As always, follow the money. Here from Planned Parenthood is their actual money in, money out report for the last 5 years. And what we have included on the written version of this podcast on our website is a link so that you can download the entire listing directly from Planned Parenthood about the finances of their organization over the last 5 years. Looking at their income shown in this report, American taxpayers funded $2.72 billion to Planned Parenthood for the previous 5 years. We leave it to you to examine their numbers of cases and dollars allocated to all of those services. However, here are some thoughts for you to ponder while we're having this conversation. $1,628,550 abortions were funded and provided for in years 2011 through 2016. There are 665 total Planned Parenthood centers that provide federally funded women's health services that include a whole gambit of health services, 665 for the entire nation. Planned Parenthood offers services to 2.4 million people a year, and that 2.4 million number includes women, men, and children. Planned Parenthood administered 321,384 abortions in fiscal year 2017. According to Planned Parenthood's own numbers, if the $500 million in taxpayer funds per year were not funded by the federal government to Planned Parenthood, the already existing over 13,000 plus non-abortion providing federally qualified health centers and rural health clinics combined with fewer taxpayer dollars could easily and more effectively continue to provide comprehensive primary and preventive health care to even more people than the 665 Planned Parenthood centers do today. And that number, according to them, is 2.4 million. The videos provided by hidden cameras the last few years in which Planned Parenthood personnel discuss how they negotiate prices for baby body parts that result from abortions. Apparently, this practice is common among their health care centers. This practice is not only reprehensible, but it is also illegal. Now, Planned Parenthood announced after several of these secret videos became public, they have suspended the practice of selling baby body parts obtained through abortions that occurred in their centers. You know the videos I'm talking about. They appeared over a several-month period, and then litigation ensued. In fact, not just civil litigation, but criminal investigations ensued against the people who prepared the videos, not the executives of Planned Parenthood from different Planned Parenthood healthcare centers that were caught discussing the sale of baby body parts and aborted fetuses in total. In summary, some thoughts for you today. I think it's safe to say that Planned Parenthood was established, operated at least initially, and operates today to chiefly provide birth control and abortions, primarily to federally funded individuals. Our understanding that Planned Parenthood bills Medicaid for services provided by their clinics for patients who are Medicaid eligible. They even will retroactively enroll those not already enrolled in Medicaid to get their procedures paid for by the federal government. This money paid through Medicaid is in addition to the money already paid to Planned Parenthood by the government as part of federal grants. So is Planned Parenthood an entity that exists primarily to perform abortions for economically disadvantaged people? Are all or some of these abortions performed to stop the generational proliferation of undesirables that Margaret Sanger spoke of in her early writings? Is Planned Parenthood operating to primarily offer health care information, advice, birth control, and disease testing for low-income Americans, and it does provide those services as well as abortions? Oddly enough, abortion's political discussions reaches even to the Supreme Court. Listen to this, folks. Senior Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg weighed in more than a decade ago, and this is a quote from Justice Ginsburg. "Frankly," she said in July of 2009, "I had thought that at the time Roe v. Wade was decided, there was concern about population growth, and particularly growth in populations that we don't want to have too many of. So that Roe was going to be then set up for Medicaid funding for abortion. The great added blessing of Roe, not only could it give women the right to abortion, but it could open the way for the federal government, via Medicaid, to fund abortions of children in undesired populations." There's that undesirable reference again, this time from a U.S. Supreme Court justice. That assessment by Ginsburg was provided in July 7, 2009, in a piece in the New York Times Magazine titled "The Place of Women on the Court." And for 25 years, succeeding a pro-life justice named Byron White, Ruth Bader Ginsburg has held the Planned Parenthood seat on the nation's high court, where she has fought for the hopes and dreams of Margaret Sanger's organization. In fact, she has done so in ways more in keeping with Sanger than liberals would care to admit. Sanger wanted Planned Parenthood, whose clinics are disproportionately located near African-American neighborhoods, to achieve precisely what Ginsburg alluded to. There were certain populations that Sanger badly didn't want too many of. The Department of Health and Human Services' decisions to change Title X federal funding rules and stop subsidizing businesses that provide abortions is drawing widespread praise from the faith community. The rule, which previously was in place under President Reagan, is simple. The hundreds of millions of dollars of annual Title X funding will go only to family planning centers that don't provide or refer for abortion. That means all of the abortion businesses that have received federal funding and used it for rent, maintenance, staffing, utilities, and advertising, but not actual abortions, will be left out. The proposal, after a time of public comment, will become final. And we're in that time of public comment now. The change is being filed with the Office of Management and Budget to ensure compliance with laws that prohibit federal funds from going toward abortions. Tax dollars spent on family planning services, including birth control, STD testing, and cancer screenings, will not be cut. Let me say that again. Tax dollars spent on family planning services, including birth control, STD testing, and cancer screenings will not be cut. But the change will drop a requirement that Title X grant recipients provide abortion counseling to patients. I think it's highly doubtful that in the Planned Parenthood discussions, will ever agree on exactly what the organization is actually doing. Apparently all of the above, at least in part. Whether or not the U.S. government should be involved with direct funding is an entirely different question. Please note, in this discussion, we have not attacked abortions, those who have experienced abortions in any way, nor discussed the pros and cons of the practice. Abortions have existed in humanity for as long as women and men have existed. My guess is the population is close to evenly split between supporting and rejecting abortions in society. For every person who adamantly supports abortion, there's a person who is adamantly against abortion. Politics, unfortunately, plays a major role in this discussion, primarily because of federal funding. So let's address that for a second. Federal tax dollars. Those are dollars that American taxpayers pay into the government in the form of income taxes in various kinds, through companies, through personal tax returns, whatever. There are millions and millions and millions of Americans that think abortion is reprehensible. Now, they support and believe in contraception, in testings, in treating STDs. They support that. But those millions and millions and millions of people that we're talking about don't believe in abortion, and certainly don't believe their tax dollars should go to the funding of abortions. That question is still to be decided. Which way do you think is right? And which way do you think it's wrong? In closing today, there are several questions regarding abortion that have yet to be answered. One, according to Roe v. Wade's Supreme Court interpretation, American women cannot be prevented from having abortions. Should abortions be underwritten by federal tax dollars? The answer to that is still up in the air. Two, more importantly, when does life begin? At conception or at birth? Three, what happens if and when at some point scientists prove factually that life begins at conception? Let me ask that again. What happens if at some point in the future scientists prove factually that life begins at conception? Think about that for a moment. That would mean all of the millions and millions and millions of abortions that have been performed have, as defined by law, actually been the taking of human life. Number four, if life doesn't begin until birth, why don't those who are pregnant ever say, "I'm having a fetus"? I've never heard a woman say that, even those that believe strongly in abortion and believe that life begins at birth. You would think if they believe that life begins at birth, instead of saying, "I'm having a fetus," they would say, "I'm having a baby." Folks, everyone in this discussion has an opinion. Those with opinions have the freedom to share their opinions with everyone. And I'll close with this. I wonder if they could speak what the fetus or the baby would have to say about abortion if they were given a chance to speak at all. Now, let me close by saying this. I in no way intended to hurt anyone's feelings, to rub salt into wounds. My heart goes out to every person that struggles with the answers to these questions, that's been affected directly, impacted directly by abortion. I pray that every person who has, instead of fighting and beating themselves up or ever feeling guilty, will find peace. Because anytime anybody does something and they feel like it's wrong, God will give them forgiveness if they feel like it's wrong. Everybody deserves peace in life. Nobody deserves, in my opinion, to spend their life beating themselves up for things that happened in the past. We all have a past. What we want to do is take care of our futures. Thank you so much for letting me share these 3 days with you in discussing and putting on the table a lot of information that probably most of you have not heard all of. You've heard part of it, but you haven't heard all of it. I encourage you to download from the website Planned Parenthood's financial numbers for the last 5 years and look at the detail of what those expenses include. And then ask yourself the question. Instead of $1 billion plus in revenue they receive every year, more than half of it comes from federal taxpayer dollars. Couldn't our federal government spend the taxpayer dollars in a better way, more reasonably, and in a much less controversial way than through abortion? These are all questions that are still out there. We don't have all the answers, but we're looking. And I want to thank you for joining us in our quest for the truth at the Truth News Network. Love having you with us. Thanks so much for sharing, and we'll be back. Have a good one. So long.
So busy you don't have time for today's news on TV or newspaper?
Never fear.
TNN has your answer. Download TNN Podcast to your phone.
Catch up with the latest news
during your busy day.
The Truth News Network.
TNN.
TruthNewsNet.org.